The same with Elizabeth and Norina. Elizabeth and Norina had temperaments poles apart. But at heart, they were so one. Every Baba, one learned this most extraordinary thing, that you did not have to be the same. You did not have to be uniform in order to get along, in order to be in accord. That hearts have a different level. You can be one with that person, but you can be not at one on other levels of the things. So Elizabeth was very steady. She liked things done slowly but perfectly, and she was sure of what she was doing, but very gentle. And you know, she would always say to Baba, "Yes, Baba dear. No, Baba dear." And Norina, the Italian temperament, she said, "Darling." And Norina was all, you know, she had such charm. Norina could charm a stone for Baba's sake. For Baba's sake, she could do. So anyway, but they were twins. Baba called them the twins. They were always clubbed together. They were always together. They like the Myrtle Beach Center. They were sent together to look for the place according to the specifications given by Baba. It seemed like Baba already had the place naturally, but then he gives them clues like you do to a treasure hunt. Go out and find for it. So anyway, once there was a fancy dress occasion. You know, we each one had to dress up. I don't know if you call it just a fancy dress thing, but each one had to dress up, and then Baba would judge who was the best dressed. Yeah. So then Baba given the date when it would be. So everybody was in their spare time doing things. You could feel the vibration, the busyness. As soon as you finish from the kitchen, Kitty would wash her hand, run, and then she would be doing something for herself. And then everybody was doing it, but Elizabeth. And it bothered Norina a lot that Elizabeth was not doing anything. And so, oh, in the end, it was so much fun. And Elizabeth always said, I know. But Elizabeth, this is for Baba. You know, I know, Norina, dear, yes. I'll do it. Come on, Kippy. Take a run, Kippy. And she'd take her little dog out for a run. Her love for animals was second to her love for Baba and her neighbors. You know, she was that kind of a person. So, now that bothered Norina so much. She couldn't think of anything. She couldn't do it. She just kept an eye on Elizabeth. And I swear she didn't even rest in the afternoons, because maybe that's the time Elizabeth was going to do it, and she wouldn't know she'd done it. So now she can't bear it anymore. She's beginning to become a nervous wreck within herself, because she called on us. She said, "Man, you have to say something to Elizabeth. That only one day left, and she has done nothing, but darling, nothing." And you know, Baba wants it for Baba. I said, sorry, you know, our role was, yes, sister, yes, please, you know. But I could see it. I mean, Norina was vibrating to a fine honing sound. And then, the last day, Norina, as soon as she woke up, she wanted to see what Elizabeth was doing. Now, this was only in between our times with Baba, our duties, everything. So, at last she... she came to us to tell Elizabeth, please, this for Baba. I said, it's all right, Norina, she knows and all. Yes, Norina, dear, of course, dear. I know, come on, could be, take a run. The last day arrives, morning. You know what Elizabeth does? She takes the sheet off from her bed, the white sheet. She puts her plate, her lunch plate, which we each had to keep our own plates in our sack when we traveled, or in our corner when we were static. Plate, cup, saucer, spoon. So she brings her enamel plate, she puts it on the bed, she brings a pencil, she draws a circle around the plate, and she cuts it around. Then she takes off her pillow from her cushion. She puts it down. She brings her cup. She puts both there, and she draws a thing around, and she cuts those two holes, and then she puts the sheet over her head, I mean, her head through the hole in the sheet, and the pillowcase on top, and she became Casper. And she wondered, she stole the show practically, and now Norina was real mad because she didn't tell her. Why did you let me go through all this? But I told you, Norina. Yeah, I told you. It was such fun, and we would laugh. Always on a very light level, you know. It is to be with Baba like that. And Baba showed us how it can be like that, how you can be at one and have it on that light level, not by removing the obstacle. It never was that. And he showed us that was not the solution. The solution was something within yourself. Once you adjusted with yourself, everything else falls in place. And to me, the loveliest example was when I read in the Illustrated Weekly once about this man, father, whose son was left on his hands. And the wife had to go out shopping or something, and he said, no problem, I'll look after the child. What's all the fuss you make about? So there he had the child, and he thought he was very clever. What he did was, he took the map of the world from some magazine, those folded things, and he cut it into bits, told the boy, now Johnny, sit down, and put all these pieces together, and he said, ha, that'll take him about 2 hours, and by the time the wife comes, in the evening after visiting her mother and shopping and all. Why? In 10 minutes, the child brings the thing to him. Sticks what he has given with. He said, Johnny, how did you manage to do that? And he said, very easy. And he turned the page. The back of the page was the figure of a man. I just put the man together and the world came together. Oh. Oh, we have to come together. Because just look at this. Two people were put in the same room, rooming together. One was Margaret Crass and one was Rana Daly. Now, Rana was so meticulous. She had a geometrical pattern to her room and her life, you know. No matter when you enter her room here all these years in Marizad, it would be tip-top, so neat, and you know, you could measure with a foot ruler a towel that she'd put over a line in her room. You know, it wouldn't be 1 centimeter off. So straight, you know, everything just, and Margaret, opposite. Margaret, you know, had a sort of a freedom inside of her that it didn't bother her. These things didn't bother her. You could find a ballet shoe on a chair and another ballet shoe under the bed and maybe even the broom somewhere. It didn't. Now, when they're two to put together, it's very difficult. But they adjusted. And the adjustment comes after it's worked out within yourself. So what Baba said, once more, if you two fight, and when there's an argument of this, now he said to Rana, I send you off to America. And that's the one thing any of us was ever afraid of, that we might be sent home. It had happened to us when we were new in the early years, now it was happening to them. So one day, it happened in spite of all that. So Rana came to the Baba crisis. Send me to America, send me to America. Baba was suddenly taken aback. So, what for, Rana? What do you want me to send you to America? Because I couldn't help it. We had another clash. Baba laughed. He petted her. He called Margaret. And after that, it didn't seem to happen. It didn't seem to bother her that things were not so straight in the same room and things like that. Margaret's part of that Kitty couldn't catch a joke. She needed to have it explained. Now, a joke is something that's very difficult to explain. So there would be Margaret and Rana and Kitty in the room, and Margaret would say a joke. She reflected much of Baba's humor in her own special brand of expression. And so, and Rana laughed at the joke that Margaret gave. And Kitty said, oh, you know, she wondered what it was all about. So Margaret said, I explained it to her. She said, I took it apart, the joke, petal by petal. And when there was nothing left, Kitty said,